Welcome to the deep dive. Sometimes you come across a piece of writing that just makes you stop and think.
Yeah.
And well, this is one of those times.
Definitely.
We're diving into John Taylor Gatto's The Seven Lesson School Teacher.
Oh,
He was
interesting.
a New York State Teacher of the Year,
Wow.
but he came to some pretty provocative conclusions about the education system.
Yeah, like what kind of conclusions?
Well, he claims there's this hidden curriculum.
A hidden curriculum.
Stuff they're not telling us.
Oh, okay.
Things that shape us in ways we might not even realize.
That's interesting.
Like we think we're just learning math and history.
Right, the basics.
But Gatto says there's something else going on.
Okay, I'm intrigued. No, what is this hidden curriculum?
He calls it the seven-lesson school teacher.
Seven lessons. Okay.
Yeah, he argues that schools are subtly teaching students these seven key lessons,
Okay.
and they impact how they think, how they behave,
Yeah.
and ultimately how they fit into society.
That's a bold statement.
It is.
He was a teacher of the year,
He
right?
was for decades,
Wow.
even won awards.
So how did he go from that to, unveiling this hidden curriculum?
Well, he says he realized he wasn't just teaching English. He was teaching school.
Teaching school, what does that even mean?
It's like there's this national curriculum we all unknowingly pay for, one that focuses on molding behavior and thought patterns, creating a specific type of citizen.
Wow. Okay, so let's get into it.
Right?
What are these seven lesson school teachers he talks about?
He lists them out:
Okay.
confusion, class position, indifference, emotional dependency,
Okay.
intellectual dependency, provisional self-esteem, and one can't hide.
Whoa, that's a
I
mouthful.
know, right?
Just hearing those, I'm already feeling a little confused.
Well, that's fitting because the first one is confusion.
Oh,
So
right.
what's he getting at with that?
Well, he describes the whole school experience as being bombarded with information,
Right.
fragmented information. We're
Yeah.
learning things out of context, right? Jumping between subjects all the time, never really connecting the dots.
He actually uses this example of a student named Kathy who wrote to him
Oh.
about how confusing school can be. She was saying, even in the best schools, there's this disconnect between subjects.
Okay.
Students end up with a lot of jargon,
Yeah.
but no real depth of understanding.
It's like they know the price of everything but the value of nothing.
Exactly.
Gatto's arguing that schools prioritize memorization over true understanding,
Yeah.
and that stifles critical thinking.
Have you ever felt that way in school?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can remember times when I was so excited about a topic, ready to dive deep, but then the bell would ring and it was on to the next thing.
Yeah, you never really had the chance to fully grasp it.
Never really got to explore it fully.
And that brings us to his second lesson, class position.
Okay, class position.
He's arguing that schools, whether intentionally or not, they reinforce social hierarchies.
Interesting.
Students are constantly ranked, sorted, labeled based on their academic performance.
Right. So it's like we're all assigned our place in the pecking order.
Exactly.
And that creates this constant competition,
Yeah.
envy, pushing students to climb that academic ladder,
Right.
even if it means sacrificing their genuine interests.
Gatto even describes it as a system where students are numbered.
Numbered.
Yeah, making it almost impossible to break free from their assigned social strata.
It's like we're being molded to fit these predefined roles.
And the first part is even teachers who might not agree with this system,
Right.
they end up perpetuating it
All
by
them.
emphasizing grades and test scores.
Right.
It sends this message that your worth is tied to these metrics,
Yeah.
not your actual abilities or
It's
passions.
like we're conditioned to accept these societal divisions
Yeah.
as natural and inevitable.
And that leads us to the third lesson, indifference.
Indifference.
This was really interesting. Gatto argues that school actually teaches kids not to care too deeply about anything.
Wait, how does that happen? I
Right.
mean, schools are always pushing us to try our best and excel.
It's subtle, but he points to the constant interruptions, the bells, the shifting from one topic to the next, without ever really exploring anything in depth. We get used to starting and stopping,
Yeah.
never fully investing.
Like channel surfing. You're
Exact.
exposed to a lot,
Right.
but nothing really sinks in.
We become almost numb to the excitement of learning
Yeah.
because it's constantly interrupted.
Right.
We're conditioned to be passive consumers of information rather than active learners.
That makes a lot of sense.
It creates this sense of apathy.
Yeah.
We lose our natural curiosity and enthusiasm for learning.
And that ties right into the fourth lesson, doesn't it? Emotional dependency.
It does.
Okay.
Gatto argues that schools, with their systems of rewards and punishments, create an environment where students become emotionally dependent.
On external validation.
Yeah, we're always seeking approval from teachers and authority figures.
Mm-hmm.
Our self-worth becomes tied to their judgment.
Right, not our own internal compass.
He gives this really powerful example of how he would manipulate students.
Oh, wow.
Into seeking his permission for even basic needs, like getting a drink of water.
Really?
It's kind of unsettling.
It is unsettling.
To think that this dynamic can play out even in the most well-intentioned classrooms.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the permission slips and hall passes.
Oh, yeah.
We need it for everything.
It's like we were being trained to ask for permission.
Right.
Instead of trusting our own judgment.
Exactly. And Gatto argues that this dependence extends beyond the classroom.
Right.
It shapes our relationships, mm-hmm. our interactions throughout life.
These lessons are starting to feel pretty interconnected.
They are, aren't they?
Like a domino effect.
The one leading to the next.
Exactly. And that brings us to the fifth lesson, intellectual dependency.
Intellectual dependency. So now we're not just emotionally dependent.
Right.
But intellectually dependent as well.
That's Gatto's argument.
Okay.
He believes schools train us to passively receive information.
From experts.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking critically for ourselves.
The good students are the ones who follow directions and don't question anything.
He even says that he would be punished for teaching anything
really?
That deviated from the prescribed curriculum.
He mentions being reprimanded for teaching evolution
uh-huh.
as a scientific theory rather than established fact.
Wow.
Even though he knew the distinction was important.
It's like we're discouraged from developing our own ideas,
yeah.
our own conclusions.
Right.
We're taught to rely on external authorities for knowledge instead of trusting our own reasoning abilities.
He claims that this intellectual dependence
mm-hmm.
is actually beneficial for the economy.
So
if we're all trained to follow instructions
right.
and not question authority,
yeah.
it makes us easier to manage and control.
That's a chilling thought.
It is, but let's move on to lesson number six.
Okay.
What is provisional self-esteem?
Provisional self-esteem. This one's particularly relevant, I think, in today's world.
How so?
Well, Gatto argues that schools teach children
mm-hmm.
that their self-worth is conditional.
Conditional.
Dependent on external evaluations.
Judgments.
Yeah.
So it's all about grades, test scores.
Right.
Constantly striving to meet those external standards.
It's the constant pressure to perform, to conform.
Uh-huh.
The report sent home the awards, given the punishments doled out.
Yeah.
Gatto believes the system creates a sense of inadequacy.
Insecurity.
Making children reliant on the approval of authority figures.
Or their sense of self.
Exactly.
It's like we're always trying to prove our worth,
uh-huh.
measure up to some external benchmark.
Right.
Instead of developing a sense of self-acceptance and inner confidence.
And that, according to Gatto, is a setup for lifelong insecurity.
Right.
It can lead us to constantly seek validation from others.
From our bosses.
Our partners' social media.
Yeah, I'm starting to think about all those times.
Uh-huh.
I felt my self-worth was tied to my grades or, you know,
right.
how well I performed in school.
That's a powerful reflection.
It is.
And it speaks to how deeply ingrained these lessons can be.
So we've covered confusion, class position, indifference, emotional dependency,
right.
intellectual dependency, and provisional self-esteem.
Okay.
That's
So what's the final lesson?
The final lesson is one can't hide.
One can't hide.
This one is perhaps the most unsettling of all.
Why is that?
Well, Gatto argues that schools create an environment of constant surveillance.
Surveillance?
Yeah, where students are always being watched and monitored.
He describes schools as having no private spaces or time for students.
Even class changes are timed
right.
to prevent socializing.
And it's not just teachers watching.
Right.
Gatto talks about how students are encouraged to report on each other.
On each other.
Even on their own parents.
Creating a climate of mistrust and suspicion. He even claims that homework is an extension of this surveillance.
Wow.
Preventing students from exploring anything outside the school's control.
It's like we're constantly being observed and evaluated.
Yeah.
No escape from the watchful eyes of authority.
This is all painting a pretty bleak picture of the school system.
It does, but I think what's important to remember is that Gatto isn't just trying to criticize schools.
Right.
He's trying to expose a system that he believes is deeply flawed.
Okay.
And in need of radical change.
So what does he propose we do about it?
Right.
Surely he's not suggesting we just abolish schools altogether.
He's not, but he does advocate for a complete rethinking of education. Okay. He believes we need to move away from this model of standardization and control.
Okay.
And embrace a more individualized, personalized approach to learning.
That sounds interesting, but I'm curious to hear more about what that would look like in practice.
Me too. And luckily, that's exactly what I'll be diving into in the next part of our deep dive.
I can't wait. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been unpacking the 7-lesson school teacher from John Taylor Gatto.
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense stuff.
Definitely.
He claims that schools are subtly teaching us
right.
to be confused, indifferent, and dependent, and not just in the classroom.
Right.
He argues that these lessons seep into, like, every aspect of our lives.
It's true.
You know, shaping how we interact with the world.
Yeah.
Our relationships, even our careers.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
When we left off, we were discussing this idea of one can't hide.
Right.
This unsettling idea.
Yeah.
That schools create an environment of constant surveillance.
Surveillance is everywhere.
So how does Gatto connect that
yeah.
to life outside of school?
Well, he believes this feeling of being watched and judged never really leaves us.
You think so?
I do. Think about it. Like, how many times have you held back an opinion?
Oh, yeah.
Or avoided doing something because you were worried about what others would think?
All the time.
See?
It's like we're conditioned to seek approval and conform to social expectations.
Right.
Even when we're adults.
Gatto argues this is by design.
By design.
He believes the structure of modern schooling is meant to produce citizens who fit neatly into a society where conformity is valued over individuality.
Okay. I can see how some of these lessons might contribute to that.
Right.
But is he saying there's some grand conspiracy to create a population of obedient robots?
That sounds a bit extreme.
It does, right?
I mean, he doesn't frame it as a conspiracy.
Okay.
But he does point to historical events.
Like
the Red Scares
okay.
of the late 19th and early 20th century.
These were times of widespread fear.
Uh-huh.
Of social unrest and revolution.
A lot of upheaval.
So he's suggesting that compulsory education
yeah.
was in part a way to control the masses and maintain social order.
It's one of his arguments.
Okay.
He believes that before mass schooling became the norm, people were generally more self-reliant and independent.
I can see that.
They had to be.
Right.
They learned by doing.
Uh-huh.
By apprenticeships.
Right.
By being part of a community.
So he sees a direct connection between the rise of standardized education and a decline in those qualities.
Exactly. He argues that these 7 lessons, particularly confusion and intellectual dependency, create a population that's more likely to accept the status quo and less likely to question authority.
That's a pretty provocative claim.
It is, but he doesn't stop there.
Where does he go from there?
He even connects these lessons to things like the clothes we wear.
Really?
The food we eat.
Okay.
He observes that our society has become increasingly homogenous.
Homogenous.
We have standardized road signs,
right.
mass-produced clothing, fast food chains on every corner.
Okay, so he seems to be suggesting that our education system has played a role in creating a culture that values conformity over diversity.
That's his argument.
Okay.
He believes that by spending 12 years in an environment that emphasizes following rules and fitting in, we lose our sense of individuality and our ability to think for ourselves.
Okay, I can see how those things might be connected.
It are connected.
But Gatto doesn't just focus on these abstract concepts like conformity.
Right.
He also links these school lessons to some pretty serious social issues.
Yeah.
Like drug abuse, violence, the widening gap between social classes.
Absolutely. He sees a direct correlation between our current education system and problems like those.
Yeah. So he argues that these issues are made worse by a system that doesn't equip students with the critical thinking skills and the emotional resilience needed to navigate, you know, the complexities of modern life.
That's right. Instead of empowering students to become self-reliant and capable adults, school often fosters a sense of helplessness.
And dependence.
It's a pretty bleak picture.
It is, but does he offer any solutions?
He does.
Okay.
He can't just leave us with this sense of doom and gloom, right?
Right.
He's actually quite optimistic
okay.
about the potential for change.
So what does he propose we do?
Well, he believes that while reforming the existing system will be challenging, it's not impossible.
So what's his alternative?
He envisions a more decentralized, personalized approach to education.
Okay.
He calls it a free market of education.
Free market of education.
Where families and students have more choices.
What would that look like?
He points to examples like family schools.
Okay.
Small entrepreneurial schools.
Uh-huh.
Religious schools.
Okay.
Even vocational schools focused on crafts or trades.
So instead of this one-size-fits-all model.
Right.
He's advocating for a more diverse educational landscape.
Precisely, he believes that allowing families to choose the type of education that best suits their children's needs and interests would lead to more engaged, motivated learners.
It's a compelling idea.
It is.
But wouldn't that just exacerbate existing inequalities?
That's a valid concern.
Right.
Wouldn't wealthier families have access to better educational options?
Right, while poorer families are left behind.
That's a valid concern, and Gatto acknowledges that creating a truly equitable system would require careful consideration and safeguards.
Like what?
He suggests things like vouchers or tax credits to help level the playing field.
That makes sense, but I'm still wondering about those essential skills he mentioned.
Right.
How would students learn those?
Yeah.
In such a decentralized model.
Gatto argues that basic skills
can
be learned more quickly and effectively.
Okay.
When students are motivated and engaged, he emphasizes the importance of tapping into children's natural curiosity and allowing them to learn in real-world settings.
So instead of confining them to classrooms, he's suggesting we encourage them to explore the world around them and learn by doing.
Exactly. He sees tremendous value in apprenticeships.
Apprenticeships.
Where students can learn practical skills from experienced mentors.
Okay.
He also highlights the importance of family and community involvement in education.
Okay.
Arguing that learning should be an integral part of life, not something that's segregated and confined to institutions.
It's a powerful vision.
It is.
A world where education is more personalized, more connected to the real world, and more focused on nurturing individual potential.
But Gatto doesn't shy away from the challenges.
Okay.
He recognizes that dismantling a system as deeply ingrained as compulsory schooling would require a massive shift in our thinking and a willingness to embrace new approaches.
It's a lot to take in. But even if we don't agree with all of Gatto's ideas, his critique of the current system raises some important questions.
Yikes.
Are we really educating our children to be best versions of themselves?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or are we, as he suggests,
unintentionally
hindering their growth and potential?
That's the million-dollar question.
It is.
And I think that's what makes Gatto's work so valuable. It challenges us to examine our assumptions about education.
Right.
And to consider the long-term consequences of the choices we make.
It's a call to action.
It is.
A reminder that we all have a role to play in shaping the future of education.
But what can we as individuals actually do?
Right.
I mean, Gatto's ideas seem so radical.
So far-reaching.
That's a great question, and luckily that's exactly what we're going to explore in the final part of our deep dive.
I'm eager to hear more.
Me too.
Let's dive back in. Welcome back to the deep dive. Mm. We've been exploring John Taylor Gatto's ideas about the hidden curriculum in our education system.
Mm.
And frankly, it's been a bit of a mind bender.
It really makes you think.
It does.
About things you might have just taken for granted.
Right.
About how school works.
And in the last part, we touched on his vision for a free market of education.
Yeah, a very different way of thinking about education.
It is. And I have to admit,
the
idea is intriguing.
I agree.
But it also sounds a bit chaotic.
I can see that.
How would we ensure quality and fairness in a system like that?
That's the key question.
Right.
Gatto emphasizes that this wouldn't be a free-for-all.
Oh.
He envisions a system with safeguards in place.
Uh-huh. Like what kind of safeguards?
Well, he mentions things like vouchers or tax credits.
Okay.
To give families more choices.
Okay.
Regardless of their income.
So even with more freedom,
right,
there would still be a role for government
yeah.
to ensure equal access
uh-huh.
to quality education.
To make sure things are fair.
But what about those essential skills
right.
we keep talking about?
Yeah, like reading and math.
How would students learn those in such a diverse system?
Well, Gatto argues that those skills, while important, aren't as difficult to learn as we might think, especially when kids are genuinely engaged and interested.
So he's saying it's not about drilling facts and figures.
Not just that.
But creating environments where learning happens organically.
Exactly.
Through real-world experiences.
He's a big proponent of apprenticeships,
uh-huh.
where students learn by doing
okay.
side by side with experienced mentors.
So it's like learning a trade.
Exactly.
Or a craft.
It's about hands-on experience.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It reminds me of how much I learned just by helping my grandparents in their garden.
Oh, nice.
Or tinkering with my dad in the garage.
That's great.
Those weren't formal lessons.
Right.
But I absorbed so much.
Exactly. Those informal learning experiences
yeah.
can be just as valuable.
Hmm. Okay.
If not more so.
Than traditional classroom instruction.
And Gatto wants to see a world where education isn't confined to institutions.
Okay.
But woven into the fabric of our communities.
It's a beautiful vision.
It is a very different way of thinking about things.
But I can't help but wonder, is it realistic?
That's a good question.
Our current system is so entrenched.
Why, they're a massive system.
Can we really shift from this model
yeah.
of standardization and control to something so decentralized and personalized?
It's a huge challenge, no doubt.
Right.
Gatto acknowledges that.
Okay.
It would require a fundamental shift.
In our thinking.
In our thinking.
About education.
Right. But even if we can't overhaul the entire system overnight.
Right.
Are there things we can do
yeah.
on a smaller scale?
I think so.
As parents, as educators, as members of our communities?
Absolutely. Gatto's work is a call to action.
Okay.
He urges us to start by questioning the assumptions.
The assumptions we hold. The assumptions we hold about education.
Like what?
Well, are we prioritizing grades over genuine learning?
Okay.
Are we encouraging conformity over creativity and critical thinking?
Those are tough questions.
They are.
It's easy to get caught up in the pressures of the system.
Right. The need to get good grades.
Get into a good college.
Get a good job.
But maybe we need to step back.
Yeah.
And ask ourselves.
What kind of human beings are we trying to raise?
That's a powerful question.
It is.
What kind of human beings are we trying to raise?
Are we focused on nurturing well-rounded individuals
okay.
with a passion for learning
uh-huh.
and a sense of purpose?
Or are we simply trying to produce compliant workers
right.
who can follow instructions?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is.
What kind of future are we creating?
These are some serious questions to ponder.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be thinking about them a lot as I raise my own kids. Yeah.
But what about those of us
right.
who aren't parents or educators?
Right. What can we do?
To support Gatto's vision. Well, we can start by valuing education in our communities,
okay.
supporting local libraries, museums,
right.
after-school programs.
Okay.
We can volunteer our time to mentor young people,
uh-huh.
share our skills and passions,
okay.
create opportunities for hands-on learning.
Right.
We can also advocate for policies
okay.
that promote educational choice and innovation.
So it's about changing the culture.
Yeah.
Recognizing that education isn't just the responsibility of schools. It's a collective effort.
That's exactly right.
And that's what makes Gatto's work so powerful.
It is.
It empowers us to see ourselves as agents of change, even if we're not directly involved
right.
in the formal education system.
We can all make a difference.
Gatto's ideas are certainly challenging.
They are.
But they're also incredibly inspiring.
I agree.
It's a reminder that we have a choice. In the kind of world we create for our children.
That's a powerful message. Whether we fully embrace Gatto's vision or not,
right.
his work prompts us to think critically yeah. about the purpose of education and the impact it has right. on individuals and society as a whole.
It's been an eye-opening deep dive.
It has.
And I have a feeling these ideas are going to stay with me for a long time.
Me too.
And I hope our listeners will join us in reflecting on these important questions.
Yes.
What kind of education do we want for our children?
Right.
What kind of society do we want to create?
Those are the questions we need to be asking.
That's it for our deep dive into John Taylor Gatto's Seven Lessons School Teacher.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening.